There is a new technique emerging for reforestation in areas where the land has been stripped dangerously bare. In the past, this work has often looked like planting long lines of trees, uniformly, like rows of corn. Often planting all the same kind of tree in long uniform lines. And this is a good start. More trees are more trees. And perhaps not surprisingly, the best way forward is more complicated than huge grids of the same species. This new technique is called nucleated reforestation, and it relies on planting small clusters of trees or shrubs with the groups or each nucleus scattered across the barren land like little islands of new life. In each one, they plant a wild diversity of species. And then there's one more step. Out around the land, in between these clusters of newly planted life, you put posts, as in just simple wooden posts. And this is to make spaces for birds to come and land, so that they can then do even more work to mix up this incredible diversity and then weave it all together. This is how life returns to the land, and how it comes to flourish. This new practice echoes the words of the prophet Jeremiah. He's speaking in a time when the people have been scattered and left brokenhearted, living in exile. At the time he's teaching, the past has been bleak and the future looks pretty shaky. Their king has been killed. Judah, the place they called home, has lost independence. Jerusalem has been destroyed. And yet, in spite of everything, or maybe in response to everything, Jeremiah brings a word of hope. While people are still cast to the wind, he shares God's promise of bringing them back together. All of them, from all corners, from the farthest parts of the earth, he says. All together. Jeremiah, quoting God, names some of the ways that people show up. In ability and disability, those with children and those in labor, people racked with grief, and those who have found consolation. And I think he means for these to stand in for all the countless ways we move in the world. God's vision and promise is that this whole great diverse body will be gathered back together as one. I hear these words and they feel awfully timely here less than a week and a half before the election. We exist as a deeply divided country, with vicious attacks flying in all directions. I will not attempt to parse stances or platforms or truth or what anyone ought to mark on their ballot, other than urging you with every fiber of my being to vote. It is not my role. I will not tell you how to vote. But I do feel like it's part of my role to speak to what I see happening, both on a broader scale and also on a more granular one. It feels important to speak to this here and now before we know the results of the election, because I believe that God's truth holds fast no matter what the outcome is. Here before the election, we see an awful lot of fear, which I completely understand. and also a lot of animosity, which I also understand. I hear from folks that it feels like there is just so much on the line, no matter who you are or what your priorities may be. And still God's truth that the prophet Jeremiah carried to people more than 2,500 years ago, still this remains. Still God is reaching to gather us from the farthest points of the earth, even, maybe especially, when those divides are not measured in miles, but in distance across the political spectrum. Across all these divisions, God longs to pull us together. Now, lest I sound absurdly naive and idealistic, or seem like I am waving a flag of simplistic togetherness, I will say here that I get how impossible this seems. I hear the pain in so many forms that contributes to these stark divides. That is real, and this pain needs work and change and healing. And even still, across the millennia, I hear God pulling us back toward each other. Alongside this ancient invitation, I want to return to this new technique for reforestation. The process of creating wildly diverse islands and then encouraging them to interact. This way is connected to a broader kind of thinking that I learned about this fall. It's an approach that is related to the natural world, but is applied to all kinds of situations and questions, no matter how industrial or technical they may seem. It's called biomimicry. Biomimicry, as in the practice of mimicking biology or life itself, mimicking the wisdom of creation. It's a practice of attention and study, but rather than just learning about the natural world, biomimicry seeks to learn from the natural world and learn how we might better emulate it. As I listened to an interview with Janine Benius, a leader in the field, I heard it described this way. Biomimicry looks at the ways that nature solves problems, and also at the ways that nature performs what appear to us as miracles every second all around, running on sunlight, fitting form to function, recycling everything, relentlessly creating conditions conducive to life. What I'm saying, friends, is that we aren't left without a guide to show us the way forward. From the very beginning of all that is, God has given us this gorgeous model of how to live in incredibly diverse communities, ones filled with different needs, different concerns, different gifts. Nature is not a utopia. I know this. How well a day goes for you in Brioni's may depend a fair bit on where you sit in the food chain, for example. And yet, if we pan out a bit, the natural world exists with more balance and cooperation than we often see or remember when we separate ourselves from it. Massive groves of trees pass nutrients underground to where they are most needed, instead of fearfully hoarding them just in case. Tiny creatures, microscopic creatures, live symbiotically with enormous ones. We know this. Biomimicry offers us the chance to experiment with a new mindset, One in which there's more room to see that all of us are a necessary and beloved part of the whole, even when we arrive here in so many different ways. The wisdom here from Jeremiah, from God, from creation itself, is that we cannot exist in isolation. We cannot thrive if we are only with our own kind, however we might define that comfortable category. Much as it might challenge our hearts to say it, every person, every species even, is needed. My hunch is that it's going to be a tough week ahead, and I suspect that it will be tough for much longer than that, as we wait to hear, as we see what happens, what unfolds. There is more uncertainty swirling than most of us know what to do with. The good news is that somehow we all still belong together, and we all belong to God. And together with that, we receive the good news that we do not have to figure out how to do it all on our own or all from scratch. We have been given a guide in the model of God's creation. We can learn from the natural world and practice mimicking its ways. We can follow creation's truth that every member of every kind belongs as part of the whole.